Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. I guess the central focus of today's show, folks, among other things, we're going to be talking about Shawn Michaels' promotion. We're going to be talking about, of course, the WWE holding up shop with NXT UK. But we're going to start with some problems in AEW. And this has been ongoing for a little while, to be perfectly honest, and that is with people ranging from Jonathan Gresham to Miro himself to Brian Pillman Jr., other people, openly expressing some discontent with the way they're being used in AEW. And this was something, of course, we brought up a long time ago. When AEW was signing so many people, we said there's got to be a cap. At some point, you can't use everyone, and these people are going to become frustrated that they're not being utilized, and they're going to want to move on. I mean, that's obvious. But now it's going a little bit deeper. And I guess I'm sort of a divided locker room here on whether the CM Punk bit on this week's show was scripted or it was not scripted in terms of what Punk said about Hangman Page. Now, people had said Page was backstage. He was not scheduled to come out, so there was really no way he could respond to what CM Punk said. So basically, CM Punk had carte blanche to say whatever he wanted to say about Hangman Page, and Page could not respond. Some of the wrestlers said this was a pretty cowardly move, actually, because Punk understood that there was no way Page could respond. Normally, when you do something like that, the other person gets their shot on the mic. And there were some people saying he had a real problem with Hangman Page. Stemming back from when they were going to have their match, and Page brought up some issues involving Colt Cabana. Now, the interesting thing is, I have no idea whether this is a work or this is not a work. I have no idea whether Tony Khan and CM Punk got together and said, let's stir up some more controversy. However, I will say this. CM Punk does have a history of this stuff. Warned you all, be careful what you wish for. Warned you all when CM Punk said he was coming to AEW that this could be a locker room problem. Because as we know from WWE, and it wasn't a work, CM Punk wants everything his own way or no way at all. And it really doesn't matter what that happens to be or who that happens to inconvenience. And some reports have said that after the, what he's calling a controversial spot with Hangman Page talking about Colt Cabana, that CM Punk told Tony Khan, I will not lose to Adam Page, regardless of what the script says. So if that's what you got in mind, forget it. If that's true, here we go again, folks. Here we go again. If it's not true, and this is all just some sort of an elaborate work, then let me explain to you why I don't feel Tony Khan is very good at his job. Remember when the MJF thing happened and everyone said, well, I think it's real. He's taken an airplane. He's left. He's not going to be at the pay-per-view. And then he showed up. Got beat up real quick, so people thought, well, maybe he's just honoring his last commitment. Then he showed up on television, said he wanted to be fired, hasn't been seen since. And most people have said, well, you know, it's a work. He's coming back. And now there's word he is coming back. Explain to me as a promoter, what good it does to take the person who's driving ratings off of television for months just to bring them back to say, we fooled you. It was a swerve. You've taken the guy that's driving your ratings off television for 2 months. That's not a good exchange. It just isn't. So that's a foolish decision. If this turns out to be just a work, it was a very foolish decision. Based on what? Removing one of your top draws? Removing one of the guys who's actually driving some ratings for your television show? Removing him completely from the product? So you can bring him back a couple months later and say, got ya? And now here we go again. If this happens to be a work, which I personally, I'm not convinced it is, because CM Punk has a history of this. But if it is a work, to what end is it a good work? It divides the audience on CM Punk. It makes your federation look like you have a divided locker room. It makes it appear as though some of your workers are being unprofessional. So I'm not really sure what you're gaining if you're trying to work the audience with these things. What did you gain by having MJ off television this long? Nothing? What do you gain by spreading the rumor that the locker room's divided and CM Punk is a problem, and it went so far as that he wouldn't even work with Colt Cabana? They had to hire him for Ring of Honor because he didn't want to be with him at all in AEW. Well, what good is that? And in the midst of that, you're going on your Twitter account and other places where you're being interviewed saying, well, you know, I only have 3 hours of television time. So I obviously can't get everybody in, and that's why people aren't happy. And in the meantime, you're signing more people. So I'm not really sure what your business plan is. I know that you're not breaking a million, and you're on your third year here, and the business plan isn't working. And I think what's ending up happening, and I could be wrong, this is my own personal opinion, there comes a time when you might go too far breaking down that fourth wall, breaking kayfabe completely. There comes a time when you might just say, you know what, maybe we shouldn't go there. Maybe we shouldn't let the fans peek in too much in the inner part of this. Because once they're that involved, it doesn't seem as much fun as it could be. The business itself of professional wrestling, folks, is not fun. It's not fun. Oh, you're going to run into indie wrestlers who say, I had so much fun at this indie show. Maybe they did. Because all they had to do is show up, introduce themselves to the locker room, glad hand everybody, find out who they're working that night, go out and have a match, get their paycheck and leave. To the people who are there constantly. The business aspect of professional wrestling is not fun. You're dealing with a tremendous amount of egos. You're dealing with promoters who can be, some of them, unscrupulous and hard to work with. You're just not, it's just not one of those things that's oh, everybody's one happy kumbaya campfire like Tony Khan wants you to think it is. I told you it's not going to be that way. And it's not now. And now you have some people literally saying, okay, well, this is not what I signed up for. Tired of being disrespected. Tired of doing dark matches on YouTube. And you have other people saying, look, I was a big name in the WWE. Guys like Andrade. Guys like Miro who are saying, yeah, you know, you're right. We're not being treated so well. not as good as we thought we were going to be. And in the meantime, you've got Tony Khan running around like a mad genius that he thinks he is, saying, I know, we'll fool the fans by pulling MJF off television for 2 months. So everybody can just forget him, and all the momentum you built up can end. Very dumb decision. Very dumb decision. Posing for pictures where he's hugging wrestlers as if, you know, they just saved him from being murdered. You know, it's one thing to have your arm around a wrestler saying, yeah, there's the guy I hired and I believe in him. I want you to take a look at Tony Khan's pictures hugging, Cesaro. It looks like he saved him from drowning. You can't run your federation. I'm telling you can't run it this way. And AEW is beginning to see that you can't run it this way. You think Tony Khan's going to stand up to CM Punk when he's practically on his hands and knees over Cesaro? Now, I've heard through the rumor mill that CM Punk never seriously threatened to quit AEW, but threw out some jabs that indicated he could if he wanted to and would if he wanted to. That's just a threat. If I don't get my way, I'm going to take my ball and go home, which is exactly what he did in the WWE. I've told everyone who will listen to me for a long period of time, I somewhat understand the CM Punk fan base. They think he's edgy, says what he wants, doesn't follow the rules, and therefore he's some kind of a rebel anti-hero. In reality, CM Punk is a self-promoter who cares about CM Punk and nobody else. And when he's in a federation, believes, in fact, that there is no one else that is above him or should come before him. And that attitude doesn't fly with a lot of people. You know, CM Punk can dish it out, but he can't take it. So when he's confronted about his problems with Colt Cabana, he immediately runs to Tony Khan and says, I'm not losing him ever. And I'm going to take 5 minutes of TV time away from somebody to argue with a guy I'm not even wrestling. I'm going to take 5 minutes to address a guy who I don't have any plans of wrestling right now, because I have a bully pulpit and he can't say anything back. Okay. Well, if that's the guy that's a rebel, that sounds like a punk to me, so I think he's kind of aptly named. You're not driving any major ratings with CM Punk. We've already seen this. Where's your over 1 million? Yeah, when he first showed up, everybody wanted to see him. Now, did that last? No. Was Eric Bischoff right when he said that's not going to last? It's just going to drop right back to normal? Yeah, Eric Bischoff was right. I'm seeing AEW now start to go through the problems that federations I knew that were going to last a couple of years are going to go through. And they can't handle them. And I warned people that some of their fans were going to be flavor of the week fans who were going to find other things to interest them once the supposed thrill of, we're going to get the best of the indie workers. Remember when they said that? All you're going to, oh, you guys, who are you going to get the best of the indie workers who are underutilized? You're going to see the guys that nobody wanted to give a chance being given a chance. And so who do we see? Chris Jericho? Yeah, nobody ever gave him a chance. CM Punk? Yeah, nobody ever gave him a chance. Daniel Bryan? Yeah, he was underutilized. Nobody ever gave him a chance. Where are those guys? Where are those guys? You see a couple here and there? The thrill's wearing off on this, and the fans are saying, where is the actual meat to this? Truthfully, you never should have signed CM Punk. It wasn't a necessary signing. It was a done for shock value in ratings. You didn't get your money's worth, as it turns out. And listen, I don't want to pick on anybody excessively, but if you're CM Punk and you've been hired for a large amount of money, is it asking too much that you look like maybe you're still a wrestler? He's dropped 40 pounds. He won't dye his beard. He looks like an old man. Could you not get yourself in some kind of look so you say, look, I look like, you know, a great athlete still. I look like I'm in my peak. No, you look like a guy who's just barely able to waddle to the ring. You look 20 years older than you are. Weird. And, yeah, there are a lot of wrestlers who certainly would have gray hair or gray beard if they didn't dye it, but at least they dye it. At least they say, let me look a little bit younger, a little more youthful. CM Punk doesn't even care. He walks out there like he just literally walked out of watching a hockey game, and, all right, I guess I have to do this wrestling thing. Give me the microphone. Let me get done. I mean, I don't see major effort there. He's no older than Daniel Bryan by much. And he's way younger than Chris Jericho. So put that into perspective. So, yeah, I don't know whether these are real problems, Mike, or some of these are a work. But, I mean, either way, it is a problem for AEW, the way they're conducting their business.
Right. Right, and that's the thing. Think about this. He's a poison. CM Punk is a poison. And all you got to do, and I know she's not wrestling right now. She doesn't plan to because of her neck. But all you got to do is look at his wife to see how poisonous he can be. He poisoned his wife, you know, in terms of what she said at the end of her career with the WWE, right? He poisoned her. So that's the deal. And there's no Triple H is bringing a bunch of people back in, and there will, if at some point Tony Khan says, screw you, I'm going to cut your contract, there's no way Triple H is bringing CM Punk back in. I mean, look, and as far as you're right, he looks old. We have our problems with the way Adam Cole looks. He doesn't look the part. He's thin. He doesn't, you know, no muscle tone, all that stuff. But he's, what, 10, 15 years younger than Punk is Adam Cole?
Yeah.
So, and it's not like Adam Cole can't change how he looks. And, you know, it's not like CM Punk can't change how he looks, you know. I mean, look, you can say that CM Punk and AJ Styles are about the same age, right? But
close,
AJ
yep.
Styles is the greatest wrestler in the world, regardless of federation. He's in great shape. He looks the part. He probably, I don't know if he dyes his hair or not, but you would assume he might have a few gray hairs here and there, but he looks the part. He can pass for being 35 years old, you know, can AJ Styles, you know.
Yeah,
so,
there's no question. Optics matter. I mean, when CM Punk walks out there looking like a wino from Skid Row, it is what it is. Now, Derek's saying, well, maybe, you know, he's trying to motivate. Tony Khan is trying to motivate people with the hug. Yeah, no. See, this is what I'm trying to tell you. I don't have a problem with a photo of Tony Khan welcoming in Cesaro with an encouraging hug. But I want you to take a look at his face, his eyes, his expression. It's like a father hugging his daughter when he finds out, oh my God, she's okay after there was a bus accident. It's way too much. There's something not connected with Tony Khan. He thinks they're like, I don't know what it is. I guess, you know, I don't want to use the word mark because I don't like the word, but that's kind of what it feels like. They're like Tony Khan's just a big mark. And it's really hard to be that and then run your own federation. Because you got to deal with these people's egos, and they're going to feed off that. Oh, if you think I'm so wonderful, well, then I want this and I want that. Or maybe Tony Khan doesn't do that with everybody. So you take a look at Cesaro, and if you happen to be Malakai Black, or you happen to be Andrade, or you happen to be somebody else who came over, you say, oh, that's funny. I didn't get greeted like that by Tony Khan. I guess we know who he, you know, he's going to promote and who he's not. You know, it's the old thing where it's great if you're a parent and you can be sort of like a friend to your child, but you got to be the parent first. Okay? You can't be the kid's friend. You can't be buddying around with the kid and say, oh, well, it doesn't matter. We'll just go have fun. I'm not going to be your parent so much as I'm going to be your friend. That's not going to work out good. At the end of the day, you got to be the parent. And hopefully you can be friends with your kid as well, but parent comes first. Well, that's the same way. You got to be the boss. You got to welcome somebody aboard with a handshake and say, I'm so glad you chose this company. I think you'll be a good fit. I know you'll work hard for us. We'll do the best we can by you. My door is always open. That's what you do. You don't run to them and embrace them. Oh, Cesaro is here. Practically crying. That just makes you feel uncomfortable. That makes me feel terribly uncomfortable. If I worked for a federation and a guy did that to me, I'd feel terribly uncomfortable. Terribly uncomfortable. Because it makes me think you're not all that serious. You're just a fan. I don't necessarily want to work for a fan. I want to work for a guy who says, look, we got a great business plan here. And we're going to present a great product. And you're an important part of this product that I want to present. I want to work for somebody like that. So, Todd, I'm not sure how this is working with Tony Khan. But after 3 years, if your ratings needle hasn't moved that much, I think you need to rethink.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, with this whole thing with Tony Khan and company, he's got to stop being the people's friend. He's got to stop being their friend, start being the boss. He should have done this in the beginning, to be the boss, not be the friend. Be their boss first, then be their friend. That's the way it works.
Yeah, I mean, listen, of course there's always going to be people that you're partial to, but usually that ends up because they're doing such good business for you. You know, like Vince McMahon was close friends with The Undertaker, but why wouldn't he be? Do you know how much business the WWE did thanks to The Undertaker? Do you know how many times he came back out of retirement, did whatever Vince wanted, helped in the locker room, did whatever? So, of course, you've been there 20 years. At some point you say, well, this person now is a friend more than a worker, because the longevity and how much they've done for me. Cesaro just got in the company. Yeah, and I had one match yet. See, that's the difference. That's a little weird. So we'll see what happens with this. I don't know whether CM Punk's just spreading his poison the same way we said he was going to, or if there's some kind of elaborate work. I don't know. I do know this. If you have to go so far as to take one of your top guys off television for months to work an audience, or tease that there's locker room dissension and even trouble, strife between factions of wrestlers in the back, that's not a good work. Just not. Now, I guess we can kiss NXT UK goodbye. They've let go about 12, 14 people from there, and they said their plans are next year to form NXT Europe, which is going to include the UK, but not be exclusive to the UK. I don't know. I don't know what the situation is going to be with that. I think that the WWE has to rethink what they want NXT to be, and whether that's NXT Europe or NXT 2.0 or whatever the hell it happens to be. They need to find out, what are you doing with this? If you want to make this a training ground, for potential WWE, future WWE superstars. But then you have to pull the trigger quicker, folks. You can't have a guy spend 3 years down there, turn face, heel, face. Win championships, lose championships, do all kinds of things, and then say, we're bringing him up to the WWE to do the exact same thing you just watched him do for 3 years. Because we've already seen the show. You got to strike while the iron's hot. And if they're good after like 3, 4, 5 months, you like, okay, you don't belong here anymore. You're going straight to the main roster before you get old, before the fans see too much of you. See, that's the thing. That's what we want. Because if you get a guy like Karrion Kross and you say, well, he did 3 months in NXT and he was undefeated and he's coming to the WWE, that's a big deal. Here's an undefeated NXT superstar. They couldn't handle him down there, so he's coming up here. That's a big deal. If you say, no, he's lost. He lost to this guy and that guy, and then this happened and that happened. Okay, well, we've already seen his act then. We've already seen it. And unless you plan on totally reinventing him, I don't want to see it again. That's basically what you're doing with Dexter Lumis. If you were so keen on Dexter Lumis, you should have brought him up 3, 4 months into his run to do his act and say, you know what, let's not waste it down here. Can you imagine if you did that with Rusev? Let's just say you went through Rusev's normal anti-American thing down in NXT. And then you turned him face and you went for the whole Rusev Day thing for a couple of months. Then you turned him back to heel again and did that whole thing with Lana. And some other guy instead of Bobby Lashley. And then you brought him to the WWE and you said, let's start from scratch and make him that anti-American heel again. We'd all be saying, yeah, we saw this already. And then he's going to turn face and do a Rusev Day thing. And then Lana's going to cheat on him. We've seen this. You can't let these NXT guys blow their entire load in NXT before you bring them up. So if you are going to have that, Mike, be a training ground, if you see someone with potential in the first 3 to 5 months, that's when you got to pull the trigger.
Right, and that's the thing. And look, here's the deal. I've said this about Dexter Lumis, you know, before, and you've heard me say it. I mean, you're starting all over with Dexter Lumis. You really shouldn't be starting all over with him. You have something there that you never completed, and you should have completed it, but you never completed it, and that's the thing with Indy Hartwell, all right? Bring both of them up and go from there. I mean, that's the thing. When you have something you never completed, you know, you got to complete it somewhere. That's another thing. They start things, they don't complete them, or they go nowhere, and they the whole Rusev Day thing, they never completed it, you know?
No, well, and again, when you're dealing with people down in NXT, it's extraordinarily important that you don't let them finish their whole entire storylines of, you know, like I said, you're a heel when you come in, and then you turn face, then you turn back to heel, and then by that, and okay, maybe we'll bring them up. Well, we've seen a whole 2 years' worth of their stuff. You can't just recreate it now in WWE and expect everybody to be like, oh, great. Now, to their credit, I guess Indy Hartwell did receive a message this week from Dexter Lumis, which got torn up. But I don't know why they're trying to still promote that if they're putting Dexter Lumis in. I don't know what's going on. I do know that Shawn Michaels has been given a little bit of a promotion, and he is now, I guess, in charge of some creative for NXT. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes. But once again, you have to make a decision. Is NXT its own franchise? Do you want to make it a separate federation filled with separate superstars who once in a blue moon you'll trade back and forth with WWE? Or do you want to make it a training ground for future WWE superstars? You can't have it both ways. Trying to have it both ways is not going to work. It's just not. Because there's a shelf life on some of these gimmicks. You know, the gimmick's not hot forever. When's the last time you saw a gimmick that was like hot forever without having some change? So you can't just say, well, we've done this gimmick for 3 years in NXT. Now let's do it for 3 years in WWE. No, it's not going to be the shelf life of that gimmick is not 6 years. So you've already ran close to its shelf life before you brought them up. That's the problem. And that's a major problem. So if you do see someone who has that potential, you got to stop right dead in their tracks and say, okay, look, let's bring them up. Bring them right on up. If they need a little seasoning, we can season them in dark matches or whatever, but let's not waste them down there. Shelf life of this is we don't know how long. Let's get them to the big show. If not, then, yeah, absolutely. Let it go if you want NXT to be its own unit. But I don't see this. I don't see NXT traveling all over the place, and you're trying to make, like, little NXT Europe and NXT Asia and everything. Well, what's that for? The WWE goes to Europe. The WWE goes to Asia. They don't need WWE Asia. We don't have WWE Europe. We just have WWE. So if you really want it to be its own federation, you don't need anything else. Bring the European and the Asian people to NXT 2.0. Just like you would WWE. But you got to make that decision. One way or the other. Just the way it's got to be. Otherwise, you're going to end up with people say, oh, Dexter Lumis, yeah. Yeah, I watched him in NXT. I know the whole situation. I get it. I get his gimmick. I was getting sick of it there, and now I got to watch it here. See, that's an issue. Once again, Mike, these gimmicks have shelf life, and you can't expect them to just be, you can't take a jug of milk out of a store that expires in 2 days and say, because I put it in a new store, I got another 6 months. It doesn't work that way.
Right, and it didn't help that the previous regime fires him, all right, then things change. I mean, you can't help life, right? You can't help the fact that all the stuff about Vince came up and that forced him to take a step back, and they put Triple H, quote, in charge, and Stephanie in charge of the booking and the business and stuff like that, as the public face of the business, right, and the booking and stuff like that, and he decides, okay, everybody, the people who are still out there who I can re-sign, I'm going to go ahead and re-sign. That doesn't help it either at all either, because that tells the fans that Vince and his crew made a poor decision in cutting the guy, and that you're probably going to start all over again with him. So just because they rehire these people doesn't mean it's a good decision, because generally speaking, including with Dexter Lumis, you're going to end up starting over again. Right.
Yeah, and that's part of the problem. Yeah, and that's part of the problem. I don't see this necessarily. There's certain things I don't see as a positive. Now, I have seen some change in SmackDown and Raw. There's more detail to matches. The matches are longer. We're getting some fresher matches. There's more overall wrestling time on the wrestling show. I mean, there were times when you were getting like, literally, you were getting like 30 minutes of wrestling in a 3-hour show, if you counted bell to bell. Now it's better. So that's good. But then I'm seeing some things that I still think is lazy. You know, you just have Kevin Owens come back down to the ring and say, forget the other Kevin Owens, as this is the real Kevin Owens now. I'm back to being tough, and you gotta pretend I'm tough again. You gotta pretend I'm the old Kevin Owens that beat John Cena. Everybody in the audience, please pretend that everything that happened for the last 4 or 5 years really didn't happen, and I'm back to this guy. No, you can't just ask us to do that. You've got to show that. You've got to take us on that journey. You got to have Kevin Owens come out and say, I became complacent. I became stagnant here in this federation. I'm the guy who hosts the KO show. I'm the guy that asks hard questions. I lost sight of what I wanted to be and who I am. And then let's start him at the bottom, not fighting Drew McIntyre. Let's start him at the bottom, fighting some local talent, fighting some guys, you know, that, you know, the R-Truths and the Tozawas and the guys that, you know, whatever, and let's slowly see the emergence of this Kevin Owens, who then can say the real Kevin Owens is back, and we say, yeah, we see it. You know, that's what we want. But now I see dumb things happening, like the new vicious Viking Raiders. Well, you're telling us they're new and vicious. You're not showing us. Why do you have to have that in the title? Just go ahead and call them the Viking Raiders and show us, wow, these guys have changed. Have the announcers say, look, these guys are not what they used to be. They're not friendly at all. How come you couldn't do that and make it more realistic where you say, you know, I thought I had a really good relationship with the Viking Raiders, both Eric and Ivar. They were always funny backstage. They were always willing to do an interview. You know, they chased me the hell out. I mean, these guys have totally changed their attitude. And then show us. Don't just tell us. That's like an actor coming out in a play and saying, okay, thanks for coming. My name is Gerald, and I have a job working in a pet shop. I really love animals, and I volunteer one day a week at the soup kitchen. But today, I'm playing a gangster, so please refer to me as a gangster, and remember, I'm a mean, horrible person. Ready? Actors don't do that. Actors don't do that. And the reason they don't do that is they want you to think that's really them. You know, the best compliment an actor can get is when someone says, identifies with them as their role because they've created that character. So now you're just saying, okay, they're the new vicious Viking Raiders, folks. Remember, these aren't the guys who did the Olympic things and the games. These aren't the fun-loving guys. Look, look, right in their name, vicious Viking Raiders. This is not the Kevin Owens that just chuckled it up and did KO shows, folks. Remember the old one. That's him now. Act like it's him. I don't want that. That's lazy. Show me the change. Make it slow. Or if it's not going to be slow, at least make it so impactful. You had the Viking Raiders coming back. There's no reason in God's green earth you couldn't have had them team up with the New Day and then turn on them. And send them both out on a stretcher. And then do a damn serious Bruiser Brody type interview where they grab the announcer and say, from this point forward, we got nothing to say to anybody. You stay out of our faces. And that includes the New Day. And that includes the fans. That includes everybody. Then they could have said, what happened to those guys? The hell is their problem? And you would believe it. And you wouldn't have to call them the new vicious Viking Raiders. A brand name on the product, the new and improved Cocoa Pebbles. If it's new and improved, we'll taste it and say, hey, that's better than it was before. It's horrible to have to do that, Mike, and it smacks of laziness.
It really is. Remember what happened when Coca-Cola tried to change their whatever it was they tried to change, and it became what, New Coke?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a bunch of hot crap, and then they came back and they said, well, it's New Coke now. Because they went back to the old the old recipe or whatever, and then say it's new Coke, because the one they went to was crap, and they knew it because it wasn't selling, because people didn't like it, and they went back to the old one. Yeah. So yeah. And furthermore, Marcus, think about this. You talk about having them beat up on the New Day. What if instead of add to that, they, as they're coming into the building, their so-called buddies, the Street Profits, show up and they just brush them aside, or they try to talk to them and they brush them aside, or they just start beating on the Street Profits, you know?
That's what I mean. Show it to us. How about if you just brought Corbin back tomorrow and said, it's Baron Corbin now. He's got back his leather vest with the wolf on it, and from now on, he's Baron Corbin. Don't call him Happy Corbin anymore. You'd be like, well, what happened? Forget all that. That never happened. Well, but it did. If you want him to go back to Baron Corbin, fine, show us why. Show us the reason he's back. Don't just tell us he's back. I mean, that's ludicrous. And it's lazy. So have I been super impressed with the Triple H era so far? Not overly. I like the fact there's more wrestling. But, man, you can't, you can't just say, okay, well, now that I'm taking over, I'm making these characters a lot more serious. So, that guy who lost 90% of his matches, but when he first came in, he was good. He's invincible now again. And you guys just need to forget that he was a jabroni for the last 3 months. No. We won't forget it. You got to show us why all of a sudden the spark is lit underneath him. You got to give us the motivation. Otherwise, we're not going to buy it. We're not just going to buy it because you say it. How about if he just marched Tozawa to the ring and say, the invincible, undefeated ninja Tozawa, and he just starts tearing people's heads off? You'd be like, well, I don't believe this. Because a month ago, he was running around, couldn't keep the 24-7 belt. Oh, yeah, but that's not him. This is the new invincible ninja Tozawa. Well, we're not going to buy it. We're not going to buy it. Because that's not what he was a month ago, and you've given us no reason to believe he's changed. You had the perfect opportunity to welcome back the Viking Raiders. Have the New Day so happy about our friends are returning, the Viking Raiders, you know. There's some wild guys, and we're going to be in a 8-man tag team match with them, and let the Viking Raiders just literally. If you really wanted to bring them back with a bang, let them take all three teams out. The minute they get tagged in, turn on their partners, and then take out the other two teams. Leave a bunch of bodies in the ring, and that's it. And from that point on, you could have had the announcers say, you know, these guys have really changed. We tried to get an interview with them. He practically tore my head off. I don't know what the hell's going on with them, but, you know, they're different. They're very different than they were. And I don't know if I like this. Then people would have said, okay, I get it. They're pushing the Viking Raiders as this mean, you know, team that don't care about anything. Great. You've already eased up on them. They've already lost. In solo matches, you've already eased up on them because it's not working. You can't just say the new and improved. I know they were jabrones before, but they're not now. Come on, folks. You can do better than that. A lot better than that. So, there was some rumor that Clash at the Castle may be changed because Drew McIntyre had a hurt back. I saw no signs of that. And they're not changing it. So I guess that was just a rumor that was going around. I do know he has suffered some back problems. But apparently nothing too serious. Todd, it looks like everything's going forward as normal, and it will be just Drew McIntyre versus Roman Reigns at Clash at the Castle.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with this, we thought at first when Drew McIntyre was actually injured with his back. But found out to be was false rumors on that. It seemed like last Friday night, he looked like he was okay and feeling all right, and looks like the match is going to probably go on as scheduled.
Yeah, there's no way they would have let him compete in that match if he was less than 100%, because he could have got hurt even worse, and then they really would have been out of luck. So once my thought was, Kevin Owens is going to sneak attack Drew McIntyre. He's going to do something to his back, not really, but he's going to, like, target his back, and they're going to say that took him out of Clash at the Castle. That's what I really thought was going to happen, that McIntyre said, look, I can come in here and take, like, one bump, make it look like I hurt my back, and that's my way out. I really thought they might be doing that. But when it was the whole match, and McIntyre ended up winning, I'm like, well, that's not true. So quite obviously, the rumors were exaggerated, to say the least, Mike, and apparently we're just getting that one-on-one match. I don't even think we're adding Cross to the mix. So at this point, if the rumors are true and the belt is going to change hands at Clash at the Castle, it's one of two people. It's Drew McIntyre or it's Theory.
It's either or, and that's the thing. And we'll see what happens there. I mean, we know at some point that they're going to get it off of Roman Reigns, one of the belts or both of the belts. I don't think they can afford to get both belts off of Roman, but one belt for sure. And at some point, we can't just have Theory walking around with the thing. I mean, it's that Money in the Bank thing has a shelf life, right? And when does Money in the Bank take place anyways? Is that at the end of the year or is that?
Yeah, they got to WrestleMania to cash that in.
Right. So if the next one comes up the next year, right?
Yes.
Money in the Bank. So, I mean, and I wouldn't think they would want him to cash it in here, would they?
Well, Mike, you wouldn't think so, but then again, I don't know. I mean, if they want to pull this really quick because of USA or whatever, they might. I just don't know how they're going to get around this only one belt changes hands, because quite clearly they've said this is for both. So I'm not 100% sure how they're going to get around it. My only writer's chop that I could possibly think of would be if Roman Reigns wins, but Drew McIntyre had him hurt, Theory pins Roman Reigns, and then we have that thing with Paul Heyman saying, well, it said you got to choose which belt. It didn't say both. So you don't own both belts. This contract clearly says a championship, not two. Championship of your choice. You could pull that. I mean, that's not a good, it's not great, but it's the only thing I could think of. So I don't know how they'll do it. Honestly, I don't know. But I'm hearing that Clash at the Castle is going to be changing of the guard for at least one of those championships. Maybe they've changed their mind. Maybe they're going to do it for both. I don't know. I mean, they have set up Karrion Kross versus Drew McIntyre. So if they give McIntyre the belts, I suppose, then Cross could be next if Roman Reigns wants to take an extended vacation. It's a very poor time. I've said this before. I'll say it again. Roman Reigns picked the worst time to say, I want to cut my schedule. You busted your ass. You busted your ass. You busted your ass. I want to be the top guy. I want to be the top guy. No matter what I have to do to be the top guy, I want to be the top guy. You became the top guy and said, I want time off. You know, that's not good. When you're the top guy, you got to figure, well, now I'm in it. Now I'm going to be on Raw and SmackDown every week. I'm going to be busting my ass for probably a year straight, 2 years, 3 years straight. I'm going to be the guy everybody wants on the talk show. I'm going to be doing all the promos. You know, I'm in it now, but that's what I asked for. Well, when you reach that pinnacle and then say, yeah, I don't want to do this, well, that's not good. Because they really haven't built up Drew McIntyre to be popular enough to hold this championship, in my opinion. And Theory would be one of those champions that's a little bit like The Miz, where you're like, well, he's just a heartbeat away from losing it to everybody. But somehow he gets lucky and hangs on to it. I don't know if you want that to be your champion either. I always thought until Vince McMahon resigned, we were going to get a long program with Theory by which Vince McMahon was slowly going to begin to screw Theory because he felt Theory wasn't the guy after all, changed his mind on Theory. And Theory, wanting to prove Vince McMahon was wrong in basically dumping him, rises to the occasion and becomes an actual face, more of a man and not a, you know, spoiled brat type wrestler, and wins over the fans in the process. I really thought that's what was going to happen. But now that Vince McMahon's out of the picture, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. Because I look around and I say, well, do you have someone who's ready to be the champion? And my answer is not really. Drew McIntyre's been there. He's safe for, you know, a few months, but not who you want. At the end of the day, that's not who you want. Karrion Kross, I don't know. He didn't go over before. What happens if he doesn't go over now? You're going to hand him the belt already? And as far as Theory is concerned, I don't know. There's a longer story to tell with Theory. I'm not sure this is what you want right now, but I don't know, man. It's the Triple H era, Todd, so, I mean, anything could happen, but I don't see anybody right now who I think it would be a better champion than Roman Reigns.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, right now we just don't, the WWE don't have another guy who's going to hold the undisputed universal, whatever you call a title. And, you know, like you said, right now the best choice right now, I know we're getting a little tired to see him holding the belt, is Roman Reigns, and I don't know what they're going to do. If Roman Reigns got lost the titles, we don't know who's going to be a good champ.
Well, that's the problem. The best choice right now is Roman Reigns, but he doesn't want to put in the work, I guess. It's frustrating. In a way, it's the WWE's own fault that they haven't built more people, Mike, but at this stage of the game, it's rough to say who can handle that belt long term.
Right, and that's the thing. Think about this. Hulk Hogan held that belt for 4 years straight, right? 4 to 5 years,
yep.
Right? Now, what was going on at that point in the WWE? Who was there helping to make the next guy up for him to face? It was Bobby Heenan, right?
Yeah.
Every guy that Bobby Heenan managed at that point became the Big John Studd, King Kong Bundy, you know, at one point Andre the Giant, whatever, became the next guy up for Hogan. Where's that guy? Where's that guy? I mean, where's that guy that's going to help to make the next guy up for Roman Reigns? You know, I mean, you could always bring back Brock Lesnar. Okay, fine, whatever. But we need somebody like a Miz or like a MVP to help make the quote next guy up. If you're gonna eventually planning on flipping Roman Reigns, you know, you need that next guy up, and you need somebody to help make that next guy up.
Yeah, and right now there's nobody. That's what I'm saying. It's a major problem for the WWE. Is the WWE under Vince, and I hope it changes under Triple H, tended to put all their eggs in one basket. Well, we have Roman Reigns, and he's extremely popular. We don't need anybody else. We don't need to build up anybody. Just whoever's going to be going against him at the next pay-per-view, that's it. No, you need to be bringing in people all the time. You need to be, you know, promoting people as the next contender. So fans can imagine, oh, I could see so-and-so going against the champion before you even announce it. Remember how we used to be able to do that? Someone would come in the Federation, and you're like, oh, they're going to eventually fight Hogan. That's who's, you know, that's what the goal is. You're going to see him against Hogan. You knew it. You knew it. Now we're just like, I don't know. Who's going to fight Roman Reigns? I don't know. Drew McIntyre, who hadn't really been on any great tear, is going to fight him at Clash at the Castle. Okay. He had to bring back Brock Lesnar for time number three. Okay. Why? Why aren't there people being built up right now that we can say, oh, that's eventually they're going to go against Roman Reigns. That'll be good. We don't see anybody like that. Because really all you're promoting are heels, which I don't understand since you have a heel champion. Usually if you have a heel champion, you're promoting faces. This is the next face that's going to go against them. If you got a face champion, then we could keep bringing in the heels. The WWE keeps bringing in the heels, and you got a heel champion. The guys you're promoting, Gunther, Veer Mahan, Almost, those are all heels. Those are all heels. So we don't picture them going against Roman Reigns because they're like, eh, now they're heels. Then I go again. Then I'm going to go against Roman. It doesn't make a lot of sense, Todd. They should be promoting faces right now if that's what they want.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, they should have been promoting faces. I remember back in the day, you're not just promoting heels, you're promoting faces as well. And like you said, it's looks like a one-sided way, like a one you know what I'm talking about.
And it's the wrong way because you've got a heel as the champion. That's the problem. Now, Mike, of course, they've got Cody Rhodes ready to come back soon. That's going to be the big one, obviously. But again, shouldn't you be building up some people while you're waiting for Cody Rhodes to come back?
Yes, they should. And that's the thing. I mean, for how many years did Ric Flair hold that championship? You know, and each time he held it, there was always that next guy up. You know, oh, if it wasn't Dusty Rhodes or Sting or Lex Luger or Barry Windham or, I mean, I'm just going down a list of these people, right, that were the next guy up. Even at one point, it was Dustin.
Right.
All right. You know, at one point it was Dustin Rhodes. So,
yes.
You know, so it's like who, and we knew that at some point he was going to, at some point Rick was going to lose the title. We knew that was coming. It was always a guessing game as to who he was going to lose it to because they had a list of guys. They always had a list of 1, 2, 3, 4 number one contender, 2 contender, 3 contender, 4 contender, 5 contender, you know, that when Ric Flair would finish with one guy, then there'd be the next guy. If he finished with Luger, there'd be Barry Windham. If he finished with Windham, it'd be Sting. If he finished with Sting, it'd possibly be Dustin Rhodes. If he finished with Dustin, maybe Dan Spivey or Sid Vicious or...
Yeah, and Mike, all of these guys were people who you say they could make them the champion. That's the problem. In the WWE, you can take a look and say, they'll never make him the champion. No, they won't make him the champion. No, that's not going to be a right fit for WWE. Back then, anybody could have been the champion. You're like, well, it could have been Dustin Rhodes. It could have been Dan Spivey. It could be whoever. Now we clearly know, well, it's only going to be certain people. That's a problem. The WWE, let's see if Triple H can turn that around, but the WWE needs to do something. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you Sunday.
You're listening to Wrestling.